All right, sports fans out there, hey, welcome back to our podcast. This is the Brand and the Source, Coach Eric Johnson here.
And this is my partner. Coach Eric Thigpen, the Source. And he kind of threw me. He did a different intro, man. What are you doing that for?
I want to spice it up a little bit, brother.
Yeah. But, you know, it's Sunday, man. My brain isn't working that fast. I'm not that sharp right now. But speaking of sharp, we got two great guests. This is our first installment of our signed series. And this series basically showcases the athletes that we've been working with and just talking to them about that process in their life, talking to the parents and getting their insight, because their experience can be your experience, and they may have a lot of different things that they will want to share with us that would help you guys in navigating this whole thing that's college athletics. So I want to introduce Deontay Thompson and his son, Nisaiah Thompson. Nisaiah is a baseball player. He just signed a scholarship with Cal State Fullerton. Nisaiah, you're at Tracy High School, correct?
Mountain House High School. It's Mountain in House Tracy. High School.
Okay, yep. Sorry about that. And Nye's been with me, gosh, since he's 12 years old. And this kid's something special. I think he is. I think, you know, aside from the athletic attributes that, you know, obviously get you signed, he's got some personal characteristic attributes that I think are really the driving force as to why he's in the spot that he's in now. And where does that come from? Home training. So I think Pops also gets some roses on this one too. But start, guys, you know, again, maybe give us a little bit of background on a little bit of your origin story on you as a baseball player. And I, you know, when did you start playing? You know, maybe why did you start playing, that sort of thing? Kind of bring us up to date.
Okay. I would probably say it started in Berkeley, California, when I was 3 years old. Oakland. You know, I've playing in the backyard. My grandmother, I actually would thank my grandmother, because she put a bat and ball in my hand, and that's where it all started, in the front porch. hitting them all over the gate and stuff. And then also too, just like, I think the main reason why I really wanted to play baseball, because, you know, I was a Giants fan growing up, and when I seen Buster Posey, that just, you know, that was just the guy. I can't even explain. He was just that guy. Like, man, okay, yeah, I want to do what he was doing. Like, that kind of drove me, you know. But yeah, it started from Oakland, though. And from there, I can't even describe the love I have for baseball. It's been fun, though. Like, I've been meeting like people just like along the way. I got Willie McGee, that I met since I was at an early age. I got seven, I think. I think that's seven. Yeah. And then I just had amazing coaches just like as like growing up, just like guiding me through the whole process about, like, you know, when you get to college and then when you like go through, or excuse me, high school, and then you get to college, and, you know, it's another level of it to pro ball and stuff. So, I mean, I'm really just thankful, honestly. Just this sport has taught me a lot about life. It ain't just good moments. People always like fail to realize, like, it's, you're gonna have to like I broke down like multiple times. Like, he could tell you, like, I broke down a lot, like, especially over this off season. Like, as of right now, I'm 16 years old too, by the way. And over this off season, it's just been a whole just transition for me, just building from the ground up, just building my foundation. And yeah, man, that's pretty much it for me.
So Deontay, kind of give us a little bit of a background on kind of how you guys have evolved through this process and what steps you've taken, and maybe who you've kind of worked with to get you to this point.
Yeah, I think I'm about to mimic a lot of what Nye said. Like, I came home one day from work and I'd seen my mother-in-law had got a plastic baseball. She was just pitching to him. I didn't think nothing of it. I thought he was going to play football and basketball. That's just what I thought. And I played baseball at a young age, but again, I mean, up to like 10, 11 years old, and I went to football and basketball. So I was like, well, we're just going to skip that phase and go. And I just seen him just the joy on his face just hitting that ball over the fence. I'm like, all right, do it again. And he's like, did it again. And do it again. It's like, then I called my brother, and he was like, oh, we got a little YMCA league T-ball. I was like, all right, cool. And then so it went from there to, hold on, where you guys going now? And then they went to Terry Hills. And we were like, okay, we want to go there too. And it was just like at that time, era of 2000, like I would say more so like 2010, 2011, 12, it was just a boom of baseball players that looked like us. And I was like, this wasn't like this when we were kind of coming up as much. You know what I mean? I'm like, and it was just like a high level at, you know, from what I thought was high level. I think a lot of it came from trial and error. I think a lot of it was, I was just kind of navigating based on what I thought was really the end thing to do before even travel ball even got introduced. I was playing for the local, like, you know, house ball league. And then I think the turning point for me, when I was, being a parent, I see the parents that I used to be, and I'll be like, man, let me just give them some education. You see your kid and you see them doing well, and then you think that they're like, man, they're the best thing since sliced bread, right? But again, I learned so much, like what I was doing wrong. Like, oh, he needs to be here. He needs to be there. I just didn't know. I was just going off what I seen other parents doing. I think the turning point, I think it was when Isaiah, you went to Pinto League. So I don't know if that's what age group is that, like 7, 8?
That'd be, yeah.
Okay, seven or eight. He leads the league in home runs. In my mind, I'm just thinking like, hey, that's it, right? He's an all-star. And he made an all-star game, and they said, you're on the B team. And we were like, well, wait a minute. How come he's not on the A team? And it's like, oh, because he made it on the A team last year. So that's where I got introduced to, like, politics. And I was like, I went to the board, like, if he's deserving to be somewhere, why would you guys not do that? And it was like, well, you know, it was like a lot of that. And I didn't understand. And somebody pulled me to the side and was like, he might be ready for travel ball. He goes, gonna try. I ain't know nothing about travel ball. I never heard nothing. And we went that summer again. We met with Willie McGee. We chopped it up with him. Willie McGee was very instrumental to understanding the next level of baseball, and even as a parent. So that I got it early, and I was able to fix all my wrongs right then and there as a parent through talking to Willie McGee. What matters, what doesn't matter. I think EJ and yourself talks about that all the time. And that's why we surround ourselves with people that speak the same tone I think Willie spoke from the very beginning.
Exactly.
And so if I look at it, everybody that he's been around speaks that language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, for me, was the turning point of saying, like, you know what? This stuff matters and this stuff doesn't. And it was just lights on from there.
You know, Willie McGee was one of my mentors. I worked out with Willie McGee when I was with the Giants.
Wow.
And he was a teammate, and you couldn't have picked a better person to learn from and to get advice from. He's the best person.
He's
the best person in baseball I've ever met. And you guys, you know, I watched you two, and I watched Nye work out, Aaron, and I watched Deontay just chop it up with me and back and talk about stuff. And these guys have it together. They really do. They're not chasing stuff. They're just trying to get better. They're in what I call the process, Aaron. And I tell the parents out there, hey, the process is hard work, dedication, sticking with the plan. And man, I see these guys at it, Aaron, man. It's cool. It's really fun to watch. I'm a big Isaiah Thompson fan. I am. Because I love this kid, and I just go, man, I like this dude. Grows on you. And Aaron, you said some qualities as a young man. This guy's got a lot of qualities off the field that are just beautiful. I'm a fan, man. Great.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And another thing is, what I was going to say was, what Willie McGee was, this is the thing that he made it very simple for us. First off, coming up, the one of the weakest positions that they said was to play outfield. And Isaiah was like, well, I play infield anyway. And then he said, no, you know what? He was like, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to be an outfit. I'm going to teach you the right way. And we went out there day after day after day. Little drills. It was the littlest things. I used to be like, what does this mean? He was like, you don't need to do all this shit. Don't worry about hitting the ball. We're going to stay right in this little area. And I was like, what is he doing, right? Willie McGee literally broke down. Now Isaiah fell in love with being an outfielder. And most kids are like, everybody wants to be a shortstop. Everybody wants to be a shortstop. Everybody wants to do whatever. But Willie McGee, man, he broke it down to the point where it was like, yo, I'm going to make you be one of the best outfielders. That's what he said. And he just, each year, because he watched him run from, what was it?
So pretty much it was a play where if a ball get hit in the gap, like to the left center field gap. And so my coach, T1 Blake, he used to always tell me that everybody has to be backing up somewhere. Like, you can't just be shut. You can't just be what is it called?
Just standing around.
Yeah, he used the word. I forgot the word. But so my thing was, okay, well, I ain't just going to sit here and out in the right field, just sitting there watching the ball get hit. So I just said, all right, so if the play go on to third, is it hit to the gap? So I said, all right, I'm just sprint all the way to go back up third. And so, like, to them, it was, like, it's just amazing. Like,
why would you go back up third base from right field? And right. Willie McGee instantly was like, I'm working with him.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, and you guys too. I mean, it wasn't just, it was a foundation of, I met Aaron through Andre Ward, and we was on a plane headed to a fight. And he was like, no, I work with kids. And I was just like, really? And I'm like, man, I want to bring my son to you because I trust you. You know what I mean? You in the same plane with me. Let's do it. And it's people like, it's just been along the way. I don't know. I can't really explain it.
Yeah. One thing that I've seen you guys do through this whole process is you define your path and you define that lane. And maybe that comes from, you know, working with Willie and that mentorship. Do you find it hard to do that? I mean, because, again, it's very easy to get caught up into what other athletes are doing, you know, and following the crowd. But you guys seem really grounded in saying, hey, look, we don't care what everyone else is doing. We've defined what path Nye needs to take, and that's what we're going to stick with. I mean, have you found that hard as an athlete, Nye, when, you know, all your other friends might be saying, hey, we're going to go play for this other team, or we're going to go train with this other guy? Or have you found that kind of hard, Deontay, in terms of parents saying, hey, you know, why don't you have Nye come play with this team or come train over here? Do you guys get a lot of that? And what, you know, what kind
I'm
of
getting,
right. you guys and anchors you guys to I keep get, doing that? To not listen to that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think for me, you know, I was just saying that I think for me as a player, it was at a young age when if you're not mature enough to be like, you know what, I see them, they doing good, but just give them their praise, right? Or if they tell you, like, man, you should come over here with us. But if you know that you getting better each and every day where you at right now, then what's the point of going over there, if that makes sense?
Yeah, grass is not always greener on the other side. Yeah.
Exactly, right. So then, and also, too, like, sometimes I think at a younger age, I used to always compare myself to, like, to other players because I always think that I would be the best, but it's like, as I got older, I would always say, like, or I would always hear people say that it's always going to be somebody better than you, but that doesn't mean that you're worth it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, me, I just take that as in, like, okay, well, I ain't going to be worrying about what they're doing. Like, that's good for them, what they got going over there. But for me to compare myself, that kind of just, it makes me feel less than, and I'm not less than. Mm-hmm. So, and that also brings down my confidence as well. So then that's when I kind of like, as I got older, I definitely outgrown that, like, probably, shoot, like, when I was, like, 14, 15.
It, like, switched.
Yeah, it, like, switched. So then I was like, okay, so that's when I actually, like, my game actually got even better because I knew that I was confident in what I was doing. I knew that what the skills I possess the best. And so that's when I really just, like, man, like, I just kept just going, like, just kept working and working. So I think it's just staying like you said, like staying on your own lane. That's all you can control. Like, you can't control somebody else getting what getting more than what you got. Like, it's a reason for what they got and what you got. Mm-hmm. So I think the comparison thing, that's just, it's a little, that's also an insecurity too. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I would say it's insecurity. I think you did a good job explaining it too, because, you know, I think our route was unconventional and it was untraditional, because it wasn't about like, we're not trying, it wasn't about being the highest ranked guy, or we had to go the scenic route. You know what I mean? I would call it the frontage road route. Like, there was traffic on this lane, so we had to just stay in our lane because there's no traffic in our lane. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that I try to explain to him that while everybody else is going to all these next biggest things and stuff like that, sometimes you're supposed to be sitting back for a second, just because we need to evaluate, build you up from the ground up. I think one of the coaches said to him, they remind him of a bamboo tree. You know what I mean? And I resonated with that, because a lot of people don't know bamboo trees, they start, you can water it, you could keep watering it, get the sunlight, feeding it, doing all the soil, doing everything you're supposed to do, it won't grow. And then the reason why it's not growing is because it's actually growing underneath the ground, getting its root strong. So by the time it sprouts up, it's going to sprout up so and be so strong because their roots were grounded. And yeah. I think we found that method as just in that we didn't ever get caught up into the who's like every year the draft, every year college, somebody's, we're following these kids going to this college. Well, did he play? No. Oh, he was on the bench. Then he's trying to figure out, oh, this kid is, he got drafted, now he's sent back home. Like, wait a minute, this was the guy, right? Like, so wait a minute, what is it that's sending these kids home or not letting them play? We're not, so what do we want? And I think another thing is, I'm not trying to live through my son.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a desire to play baseball at the next level. I had a desire to do film. He has a desire. My job as a parent is to, me and my wife, we talk about this a lot. When we send you into this world, we want to send you prepared. So that means it's a village, right? So we're going to make sure we give you the values, respect. I always tell Nye, you're talented, and he is talented, but his talent can only go so far. It's as much as his character goes. Mm-hmm. So if his character is on point, his talent can go through the roof. If his character starts to drop, his talent going to drop. That's just what I believe. So I think that keeps us in a humble spot. So even when he's getting the notoriety that he's getting now, I mean, y'all two know, he's just now getting that notoriety.
Yes.
Yep.
You got to be able to see the room stuff, you know what I mean, and be there.
You know, guys, and Nye, maybe you can help me with this. And now, how do you still focus, man? Because I've watched you for a while, man. Mm. And you had something different about you. And I watched you and just said, there's something different about this dude, man. When you played against me when you were 13, when I first saw you, 12, 13, I watched you out in the center field. I go, this cat's different. What is your, you know, what's your 10th tool or your 6th tool? People call it different things. What makes you so strong? You know, what makes you so focused? I think people need to hear what makes you so focused on your schoolwork, your home life, your social life, your workouts, your baseball. What keeps you there?
It's just what he does. You know, I mean, not to answer for you, but I mean, I've watched this guy come into my gym since he was 12. It's been, you know, 4 years. What, four, going on 5 years now?
No, and half 11. He came in your gym. Yeah, he came in your gym at 10:30.
Oh, yeah. See, there you go. And so what I see is they've got a program. For instance, you know, we were talking a couple of months ago, and he's at my gym, and we finish up at probably like 7:30, 7:45. And right. They live out in Mountain House. So they're coming to Concord. Yeah. And they're like, okay, yeah, Aaron, we'll see you later. I think I ran into you guys at the gas station. They're filling up. And I'm like, so you guys headed home? He's like, I think we're talking about which way to take home, Highway 4. They said, oh, no, we're going to such and such. We're going to Hit now. And I'm like, it's 8 o'clock at night? He's like, oh, yeah, we go and Hit, you know, out in, what is it, Emeryville or someplace? Oakland, I can't remember where it was. But they got, they got to go another 30 minutes away from home, the opposite direction. It's 8-something at night to go hit. I mean, they had a plan. They're dedicated to the, they've committed to their plan. And that just kind of sums up, I think, the dedication and how they're going about things. They just know, hey, this is what we got to do, and they do it. And they don't make for excuses. You know, obviously, he's a good student. And they just don't let anything get in the way. So, again, not to answer for you, but from the outside looking in and the conversations I always have with you and your dad, they've just decided that's what they're going to do. And I think a lot of people can't do that. They can't make that commitment. They can't be consistent. They let other things get in the way or let other excuses for why they won't, they can't do something. Or probably the biggest thing is not convenient.
Oh, convenient. That's right. I forgot about that word, Aaron. Convenient.
I hear that all the time. So I know I've got, you know, clients out there right now that might be listening to this who say, oh, well, you know, I don't know if we can make it out to GameSpeed or I can make it out to this, you know, because it's a 45-minute commute. Well, you know, that's fine, but that's a choice that's going to have ramifications. And they've made the choice that, hey, you know what? Distance isn't going to be the thing that stops us from pursuing what we want.
Absolutely right. Yeah, no, I think, like you just said, two great points, like being consistent. And then when people always say about the distance, that was kind of like, when I used to hear that from, like, especially like kids my age, they'd be like, man, that's heck of far, man. You be doing that? I'm like, bro, that's nothing. Like, me and my dad been across America going state to state. That ain't nothing. But yeah, like being consistent is like what he always tell me. I got that from him. That's all him. Just being consistent, like having a routine and just maximize your day. Like, don't leave nothing like empty handed. Like, don't just leave something on the table. Like, if you know you didn't go do something, just go do it. Like, don't be lazy. I think that was the biggest thing for me. But I honestly, though, like at a young age, I really just wanted to do my best. Like, that's all it was. Like I tell my brother, I'm like, Kai, when you out there just playing, just go, just do your best. Don't worry about nobody else. Like, just go do you. Like, don't, like, because that was, I don't know, that was really just instilled in me, because I just always did that. Like, when I was, like, first, was that Shetland? Yeah, Shetland. My first year, I made All-Stars, but I knew why I made All-Stars for some reason, because I knew that I was maximizing. Like, I did not, like, give up. Like, yeah.
You had a high motor.
I did.
At an early age. So.
Yeah, and like you can hit the ball all you want to, like, and I'll miss every single time. But it's like I just knew that I wanted to keep going. Like, I got hit in my mouth several times, and I don't know why. I just still kept going. But even like knowing your why, like I'm getting to that point where I know what my why is. But for me, I really just love the game. Like, I really just. And I'm not just a baseball player either. Like, I do other things too, but I just feel like since I know that I love this sport, it's just like, it just get addicting, if anything. It really just get addicting. Can't even stop
this dude, this dude right here, let me tell you, I was talking to him, and one time I tried to just like, somebody was asking him a lot of scenarios in baseball. This one I realized his IQ was really high. Again, that comes again by being around EJ, Aaron, Willie McGee, T1 Blake, Kevin Whitaker, D Brown, Stacy Pettis. I mean, the list goes on and on. He just talks baseball. He loves watching baseball. My wife loves watching baseball because she's trying to figure it out. And he's like, no, this person should have did this. Oh, he missed his cutoff. Oh, man, that was a cut four. That wasn't a cut two. What was he doing? Like, you know, that's his biggest thing. He knows not where he's at, but he knows what you have to do in those positions. And I said, we might got something here. And I think for us, it was always like, listen, nobody's not going to give us anything. You want it? Go get it.
Yeah.
You want that? Go get it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make us of any sort, a college scout, pro scout, any scout. amateur baseball scouts, you can't make them say good things about you. You have to actually perform. Right. And the only way you're going to perform is if you work. It's really not a hard thing. It's just that, are you going to buy into that? Are you going to give yourself proper time management? Are you going to give up and sacrifice going to the movies with your friends? Oh, we going to the movies. Or how many parties you got invited to? Several. How many, you know, birthday parties have you missed? How many things have you missed? And I'm not one of those parents that's like, no, he has to do this. I tell him, you wake up every single morning with a chance and a choice. That's it. And something's going to come with a reward or a consequence. But you got to be able to know you can work your butt off now and enjoy the fruits of your labor later, or you can try to go and struggle and figure it out because you want to have too much fun as a kid. It is balanced. We do have to have, you know, family events. We have a lot of family meetings. We're very transparent with our kids. And I allow Isaiah to be him because, again, I haven't played at his level of baseball. So who am I to tell him? I just know what work ethic looks like. So that's what I kind of like try to instill with him and just be a good person. When somebody is like, somebody said about loyalty. If we would have met EJ before we met D Brown, we'd be playing for EJ. Only why we're not playing with EJ right now is because it's the loyalty factor, right? Right. But that team, how many times has EJ hit with Nye? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nizea is telling me, man, I wouldn't have done none of this stuff without the knowledge. So it's not about for him. He's like, look, man, I might wear a different jersey, but I know where I get it from. Mm-hmm. That's why he said when he committed to Fullerton, it's too many to explain. When he got a whole other speech he writing down for the next one. Like, it's all everybody, because it's not just me. I teach him and his brother, hey, you got to listen to what we talking about. You go to school, you got to listen to what those teachers is talking about. You with your coaches. We're backing up everybody. So by the time we come home, we got to go ahead and figure out, we talk about today, what did Aaron say to do? It's not about what Deontay said, but what did Aaron tell you to do? All right, cool. Are y'all on the same page? Yeah, we text. We know I got my homework. What did EJ tell you to do when you hit? This, he gets excited. Oh, I found it. I'm unlocking something. Ooh, I took this to my hitting coach and I forgot it. I think we just got very blessed with having a great knowledge of baseball IQ and not get caught up into the who's who. You know, we know who to call when we need to make those calls. And that's the people that's here. And of course, just only a few selected people otherwise.
EJ, did you have a question? I also have another question, but I want to switch gears a little bit.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I don't have another question, but he answers a lot of these questions we have.
Yeah.
And this board and consequence thing. And if parents are out there listening, and if student athletes are out there listening, when Deontay said reward and consequence, you have choices and things you make, you know, he's giving his son the ability to make choices, not telling them you need to do that. And I think that's important. And I hope the parents out there listen, Aaron, to that. We have choices, and it's up to that young man to make choices. And I love that when I heard that, Aaron.
Yeah, no, guy, you hit on so many things. Dedication, the choices. You talked about loyalty, all of those things, you know, basically not trying to fix what's not broke, you know, in essence. And I like that. But I want to switch gears to probably a subject a lot of people are interested in, and that's the recruiting process. Let's talk a little bit about that and maybe what your feelings were. And in other words, how were you recruited? How did you guys go about maybe getting some exposure? Maybe what were some of the things that you guys did to position yourselves to be in front of the right people? Or was that happenstance? You know, or did you have a plan? You know, again, you talked about not just doing what everyone else is doing. So how did you guys maybe decide, hey, these are the events we're going to go to, and these are the ones we're not going to go to? Let's speak a little bit on that. And then after you guys have had those initial contacts with the scouting community, what was that like? How did you guys kind of crack the code and say, hey, this is how we want to, this is what we want to give them, or this is what we need to present to them. Because you said something earlier about being told, you know, hey, if I back up third base, the right people are going to recognize the value in that. You know, the right people who play the game are going to recognize the value in that versus me just standing out there. And I, those are some of the things I don't think a lot of athletes are aware of. So anyway, let's kind of delve into that a little bit. I'll make it easy for you.
Well, so he can, my dad can really talk about like the exposure part because he kind of.
No, I think that the exposure, that word has a double entendre to me, right? And I want to make sure I'm clear with that word, because what I mean by that is that word has, I can say like, let me see, like exposed or exposure.
No, you're right. Most people get exposed because they're not ready.
Right.
It goes back to what being ready. So then therefore we had to get to a part where we had to get to a part in our lives. And I'm like, what matters? And again, it goes back to the work. So we knew when the high school stuff started, I told my son I didn't want him to commit to any college until the 11th grade.
And I agree to that.
Kids are getting committed eighth, ninth grade. From a businessman, it wasn't the best. It wasn't to me the best route. And the reason why I said that, because I watched two. I remember it was like we started his Twitter. Somebody told him, start a Twitter for him, right? And I was like, for what? I don't really, you know, if he's not going to use it, what's the point? And he was like, no, it's just baseball is on Twitter. So I forgot, we was at a Twin Creeks tournament. Somebody started a Twitter for us right there in the lodging area. And we did it. And then it was like, just stay up there, let people know what you're doing. So at first we were doing it a lot. And I was like, I don't like this. You know what I mean? Like, we got you a Twitter, we'll post stuff that's more important, right? But I didn't know how serious it was. And we followed every college that he thought that he would ever go to. And it was a lot of them. So he followed the college, the coach, the assistant, the recruiting coordinators. And we wanted to do camps. You know, like, let's go to a camp. If they said they had a camp, let's go look at the campus. We might not never even like the college. And I think from there, it really like for me, I started to be able to know like, oh, okay, this dude just got decommitted. Oh, this college coach just left. He got fired. I was like, yo, what happens to the kid? You know what I mean? And I was like, nah. And this is pre-COVID. Of course, I had help with our cousin, Kyron Parrish. He was going through the process first. So we was able to watch there and just kind of like hop onto the train that they were on. And he didn't commit to college until 11th grade summer. Yeah. And he only had a few months to sign. So then for us, we were like, 11th grade, we'll make it beyond. And man, when 11th grade came, we didn't have, the summer of 10th grade summer, I think he started to turn it on. That was last summer. He just started to turn on a little bit, another thing, getting a little bit more stronger. And Aaron and I talked really fast. And it got him like in a place where he was ready to go to a next level. And that to me, and then the colleges were kind of like, now he was getting frustrated. He was talking to colleges.
Well, I can't say that I got frustrated. Like that was a little bit towards the end, but I know like in the beginning stage, like it was just exciting just to hear like, oh man, this coach is about to call me. And then it's like, I kind of like had like I felt like I had an expectation of them thinking that they're going to say something, but it's like, then I started had like once I kept doing it over and over and over again, and I was just like, oh, they kind of doing dirty stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's not even look right. And then that's when I realized like when you think that like, oh, when you hear this college, it's like, man,
hold on, pause for a second. I want Aaron to be able to. I'm gonna go on to the other side. To add, I can be able to make sure the conversation can be able to continue no matter what. Got it. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that. So I want to make sure I can hear, but we want to make sure that this is being important because when we went to this college process, I sat down with Isaiah and I told him, I said, these are the schools you're looking at. He was talking to one college since eighth grade. Another college came in. It was just three. So that's your audience. You got three colleges talking to you. People were going to follow him on Twitter, but won't really say anything, or they'll send a message to a back channel of somebody. And we were like, we're available to hear anybody.
Emails to camps.
So we didn't know what was true. Perfect Game is, you know, I think it's a necessary evil. I think that the funniest thing I can say this about Fullerton, because that's what we committed to, was when Isaiah walked to me and said that you told me who in business, because that's what he went to major, he told me he went to major in business because one day he wants to be a GM for a team. And then eventually an owner. I was like, wait, sky's the limit. He said to me, so in business, how does that work? And I said, well, depends. If you want to make sure people want you and want your business. And this time, your business is baseball. All I ask for you to do is keep your grades at a certain level so they can't say that you can't enter in that business, right? So that's the number one thing. In order for you to play baseball in this household, you have to keep a 3.0. That was from first kindergarten on. I didn't care if you had 3.0. You had to get good grades. That was the number one rule. So it was already instilled in him that grades was a priority. Student athlete. So and I treat baseball and school the exact same way. Like I talk to the coaches, I talk to the teachers, I talk to the principal, I talk to the coaches. Like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I told him that way, that would never be a door that you have to worry about. And then when he got to junior high school, we upped it to 3.5. Well, you upped it. You said, well, I'm going to try to do 3.5 and above. And he remained there. Well, we was already instilling him, again, about those decisions and your own choices. And he understood. And I said, all right, 3.5, you get below, you're done for the year. We never had to take a year off. So that means he kept his end of the bargain. Now, when the coaches, this summer, we was looking at it like, these coaches are talking and just stringing him along in the conversations. We're more shoot from the hip. Tell if it's an interest, cool. If it's not, cool. Like, but just tell us. And I think when the funniest part is that when a school wants you, they're coming. And they're coming guns blazing. Mm-hmm. And when Fullerton, I talked to EJ and Aaron about this. We don't mind. Again, we're an open book. For us, and it's no disrespect to the other schools. Their process is their process. We just want to be able to know what we're dealing with because we want to get back to work. Mm-hmm. We didn't actually enjoy the recruiting process as parents, or nor did he. He felt like it was more of a distraction, and everybody asked him for his timeline. When you're trying to commit, he would say, I'm not in a rush unless somebody's giving me something for me to think about. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. And they kind of stayed with more conversations. And I think by the time the 11th grade came, we never ever said that we wanted to make a commitment like to anybody. And then we actually was, I think that was the best process because Fullerton, when they came, it only took them a month to let us know how much value we were. So even though he had dream schools, who was dreaming on you?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
25 miles from current.
So who was dreaming on you? And if somebody wasn't dreaming on you, then what were we talking?
Right.
It's good point.
So I think,
hey, you know what? That's what I'm. You only need one school to love you. And if they're giving you that love and you're into it and they're into you, then go for it. I always call it the fit. And it seemed like Fullerton State is the fit for you, Nye, because I remember when we were talking about that. So that's a good thing. It's so important. Parents and people out there.
No, parents. Also, what's important is listening to EJ and Aaron. Like, I know this is their thing. No, I'm serious. And I mean, Nye, you said it too. Like, and this is no, if this wasn't on, I would tell y'all this in person. Like, it's not about, we don't chase trophies. We're not chasing those. And I just go back to your thing, Aaron. It was never about the tournament. We only want to chase competition.
Yeah.
We didn't care if it was a week, if it was a week-long tournament, how many games can we get out of a week? I didn't care about the wins or the losses. We wanted to win, but not to win for bragging rights. We wanted to win because just the competitive edge. Yeah. And I said, and that helped. He lost a lot. He didn't go. He wasn't on no national ranked teams where, oh, you had to be, oh, flown. Don't get me wrong. We did go on the teams when and guest played before, and it was opportunities for amazing clubs. They, you know, they opened the red carpet for you. But then it was like when our team started to go to those places to where the competition was, we didn't need to be there. It wasn't no disrespect to those teams or anything. We just wanted to play against the competition.
Right.
We didn't, and then it was like, for a little bit as a parent, you'd be like, well, how come my son not getting recognized? Well, maybe he wasn't supposed to be recognized at that time.
Right.
Maybe he was supposed to be in the shadows for a second. Maybe he needed to work on some other things.
Be patient.
I think, and be patient. The best thing that ever happened to him was not making the underclass area code games because it changed another level of work. He was working, but then he started to grind. And that chip is unmatched. Failure is the best tool, or not being accepted is something that you feel like you worked your butt off. And he said, well, I said, well, it must be another level of work you got to do. And he counted. And Aaron said, and we talk weekly because we got to see again. He's in there this week. He's going to see Aaron twice this week. He's working 5 to 6 days a week. So anything that I say that Isaiah gets as his father, he earned it. I didn't give nothing. He earned every bit he gets. So I don't feel bad about, oh, it wasn't no connection that I had. It wasn't no, it was straight hard work, blood, sweat, and tears. And when he say tears, he cries about this stuff. He got to stay on his food regimen because he knows that Aaron's going to send him through this workout routine. Or then, hey, hitting is hard. So you're not going to hit every single time. Like, what's the expectation? He doesn't go in there thinking like, oh, I had a strikeout, so the road is over. It's like, no, I'm working on something. I'm being selective with my pitches. His IQ is through the roof. And it's because of people like you, both of you guys. Like, so for us, our managing our expectations is very big. And if he get to play every year, he get to play baseball, and that's what he loves to do, I'm supporting him. And then our conversations change between father and dad. We're not having, hey, man, why did you not hit that ball? Why did you do this? Oh, why did you do that? It's like, hey, how did you feel today? Man, yeah, you could have seen that, but you know what? Let's take away the good, and then we can go and take the other stuff that we didn't do, and we take it into work next. Now we having conversations. Now we cooking with grease. Now we talking about, and I get to be able to have a relationship with my son at another level.
Yeah.
I don't want to just be about, you should have did this. That was the old me, and he's teaching me how to do my youngest in the same way. So the recruiting process wasn't really as smooth as we wanted, but it's not because it couldn't be. It's just that we wanted to make sure we picked the right fit so we can get back to work.
Right.
The See? Journey.
The journey.
Literally. And you use that W word a lot, but it's not win, it's work.
Work.
You know?
Work.
Work.
And W again. He knows his why. Work,
yeah.
Work, why. He knows those, you know? So cool stuff right there, man.
And the last thing we'll say cool. is his room is very important. His journal is important. Him writing down expectations of himself, goals, the routine. Routine. Wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning when nobody's looking. That work is also important. Like he putting himself, making sure he drinks his protein shakes. Making sure that he's eating properly throughout the day. Making sure he's resting properly throughout the day. No days off. I'm agreeing with that. But no days off is also part of recovery, right? So I think you have to be able to recover for what you're about to put your body through too. And that's still taking no days off, even though you took a day off from what you did. Because mentally, you're still stimulating your mind. Mentally, you're still moving. So it's just about your interpretation and your... When you hear somebody say no days off, doesn't mean send your son outside and make him work every single day and never give him a break because he had never gained anything. It's about no, every day he's constantly grinding towards it, including recovery. And then now he has 2 recovery days. So now he's ready to get back. He already know my alarm set at 5:30 in the morning. So I got to get out there and do my agility stuff. That's his workout. And he's a captain on his baseball team. So he has to be out there before they do and in and still do the fields and everything else. So it's a lot of stuff that goes into that process. And again, we're thankful for the people that's in our lives. Again, I can't even say that no more than I have. But I mean, I think that that's something that he kind of was just born with, man. And I've been blessed to say that he's actually taken hold of it. He actually sees what he wants. He knows what he wants to do, and he doesn't mind doing what he what it takes to execute.
Hey, well said, man. You got anything you want to say in closing, EJ? I know we gotta let these guys go, and we could talk for hours. We do this at the gym every day they come. So maybe we just need to record our podcast then, and not try and worry about a special time. We have this.
We can do it again too. We can anytime.
Anytime.
Love it. I love it.
But Aaron, you touched on a lot of our podcast. The next one coming out is developing leadership. We talked about, you know, taking your own path. We talked about, you know, recognizing work. We talked about surrounding yourself with the right people, not too many cooks in the kitchen. I mean, you guys, all of this stuff, it's not new. Me and EJ have been talking about it, but you got to hear it. And you got to digest absolutely. It. And it doesn't have to come from us. You know, we're not the wise men sitting on Mount whatever. But you guys, it's about information. Getting better in athletics is about information and getting the right information from the right people and using it and applying it and believing in it.
Aaron, you could have said that any better, man. I mean, he just... Wow, I'm blown away. I'm really blown away because it's like listening to our podcast right in front of our eyes. So
yeah.
fortunate to have these guys on today, Aaron, man. Really blessed to have these dudes on, man. Just real from the heart, from the soul about their journey and their continuing journey forward in life and everything like that. So great to have them here today, Aaron. We're pretty fortunate, my man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for sitting in the car for about 55 minutes.
My bad. We gotta sit right. We didn't know the light was gonna change. We were like, oh, it's on. But thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all for having us. This is a good one.
All right, fellas. All right. Take us out. Well, take us out, EJ.
Hey. This is the brand and the source. This is Coach EJ signing out.
This is Coach Aaron, the source.
See y'all later. Peace.
Peace.